I invite you to get your Bibles this morning and open to the book of Luke chapter 9. And if you need a Bible, it's one on the side table. I encourage you to get one to study with us. Luke chapter 9. And I want to draw your attention down to verse 18, but our main text this morning is going to begin in verse 23 and be down to verse 26. But I want to put a little context around what the Lord is saying here. So, again in Luke chapter 9, verse 18, it says, "And it came to pass, as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him, and he asked them, saying, Whom say the people that I am? They answering said, John the Baptist, but some say Elias or Elijah, and others say, that one of the old prophets has risen again. He said unto them, But whom say ye that I am? Peter answering said, The Christ of God. And he straightly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing, saying, The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day. And he said unto them all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels." Again, may we pray. Our Father in heaven, as we again approach thy throne of grace this morning, Lord, we thank you so much for what your word continues to teach us, how it helps to guide us in our daily lives, how it helps to draw us closer unto you. And Lord, how you've said that you'll never cast us out, you'll always be there with us, you'll never forsake us. You are there as our comfort, our guide, our shield, that anchor, that rock. And Lord, as you know our hearts this morning, I pray if there's one in our midst or one that's listening to this message this morning who's never trusted in your Son, Jesus, as Savior, Lord, I pray that today is the day of salvation. Eternity is close, and we need to be ready for eternity. But for we who are saved, Lord, I pray that we'll pay special attention to what your words have to say this morning. Guide my words. For it's in the name of Jesus we ask these things. Amen. You know, many Christians have become deluded into believing that when you follow the Lord, and that's what I've titled the message this morning, when you follow the Lord, ... Okay? Meaning it's a lifetime. When you follow the Lord, that it means to be absent of trials, absent of tribulations or temptations, and absent of persecutions. And I believe this is partly due to preachers that preach this name it, claim it, feel good type of religion. Which, by the way, is not found in the Bible. It's not there at all. Now, I will tell you, though, is that the Lord says if we ask anything in His name, He will give it to us, right? But there's a qualifier there. It has to be in His will. Alright? Not just because it's in my will, but it's because of in His will. And I will tell you that the Scriptures do give us a feel-good time, right? Meaning,
trying to reconnect.
Oh, okay. Is it reconnecting?
Trying to.
Okay. Well, we'll see. Anyway, we're going to keep going. So the thing is that reading the Scriptures and listening to the Scriptures, the Scriptures can make us feel good, right? Because it encourages us. However, that's not what all the Scriptures are about. It's about also teaching us how to get through the harsher times of our life as well. Many Christians have been swayed by secular teachers into believing that one is entitled to a glorious journey in Christ without any obstacles. Very few preachers today are willing to speak of a fulfilled life in Christ found only through this. Now, I want you to hear what I'm going to say. A fulfilled life in Christ that come with trials, temptations, and persecutions. Now, if you knew that before Christianity, would you sign up for that? Probably a lot of people wouldn't, right? They wouldn't sign up for it. Because of what reason? Because the reason is that they wouldn't sign up for it is because it sounds like it's a very harsh life, not a blessed life, to have to deal with trials, temptations, and tribulations and persecutions. All right, excuse me just for a minute. Let's turn this off.
I don't know that you don't want to delete it, do you?
Let's delete. Let's just share it and let's be done with it. I'll do this. Come on. All right, we're back on. It's just I'll fix it later. All right, I haven't lost my thought. All right, I know exactly where I'm at, so I have notes. All right, but the thing is that following the Lord. If I look at the apostles, how many would you have thought is that they would have followed Jesus if they really truly understood going into it? When they were called out, come follow me, I will make you fishers of men. How many of these individuals do you think would have followed him if they knew that it was going to mean their martyrdom?
Yeah.
Very few, if any, would have followed him in that manner, right? So, we don't hear sometimes about the fact that there are going to be trials, there are going to be tribulations or temptations. There's going to be persecutions. But the Lord tells us through the writing of Peter, it says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow His steps. Alright? That ye should follow His steps. And then Peter went on to write in 1 Peter chapter 3, starting at verse 12, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil, and who is he that will harm you if you be followers of them which is good? But, and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. Well, doesn't that sound like a paradigm or a paradox, right? That's a paradox. How can I be happy if I'm suffering because we're following in the footsteps of Jesus? And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, irrespective if I have trials, temptations, and persecutions in my life. And so we're going to look at what it really truly means to follow the Lord. Now, I will tell you is a lot of people have an idea, as I said, a lot of people have an idea of what it means to follow the Lord. And what I want you to do and ask you to do this, is all that you've ever thought or thought you knew about following the Lord, just put it aside for right now. Because I want to look at Scripture and maybe some things that we have not heard or not understood what it means to follow the Lord and what it means as Romans chapter 12 verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a what? A living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Look at what verse 22 said again in our text. Jesus said this, the Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be slain and be resurrected. That's what he's saying, be raised the third day, right? One of the reasons why he told his disciples not to tell about the fact that he's the Christ yet is because they did not have a full understanding of the resurrection. How are you going to teach a partial subject that you didn't have all knowledge of? And understand is that, as he said, he is going to be rejected. How are you going to preach and teach and understand that if you don't understand the rejection and how they're going to stand against him? And then when it comes to actually telling them is that they will understand that it is worthy if we end up having to suffer for the Lord because we are following in the footsteps of Jesus. Now, I don't want you to go out here and think this is that pastor says that if you follow Jesus, it's going to be the worst life you'll ever have. That is not what I'm talking about. I want you to see from Scripture some things that we need to be aware of, what the Scripture says when it means that we follow the Lord. There are going to be many good days. You're going to have many mountaintop experiences. But I will tell you, even in persecution, you can have a mountaintop experience. It doesn't always mean that a persecution or a temptation always has to be a valley experience. But we are to worship and praise Him in the mountaintop experience as well as in the valley experience. Sharon and I went on this trip down south, and coming back, we were coming through Missouri yesterday. And as we're traveling along, I happened to notice on the side of the road, on the interstate now, is that there were two men that were walking along the side, and they were carrying crosses. Now, they were carrying crosses, like you would think about the cross of Jesus, right? These two men walking down the road. And I had to wonder, what message were they trying to bring forth? What was their message? Was it Jesus died on the cross of Calvary? Was it He suffered and bled in our stead? Or were they trying to say is that we need to be carrying our cross for Jesus? I really don't know what the message was, because they're just walking down the road again along the side of the expressway carrying these two crosses. I just didn't understand it. And we have here in verse 23 that it says, "And Jesus said unto them, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Now, one of the things that I think it's important for us to understand, let us not go out here and try to purchase our own crosses. In other words, let us not try to manufacture our own crosses. Let the Lord give us the cross that we're to bear. Understand that. The Lord never asked us to bear His cross. The only one that was asked to bear His cross was what? The man named by the name of Simon, I believe it was. He was asked to bear His cross to get it up to what? Golgotha, because Jesus was just physically, he was just depleted. He was physically depleted, and so he was asked, this man that was standing there in the crowd was asked to help him get it up. But other than that, we're not called to carry the cross of Jesus. Jesus bore our cross. Jesus went and suffered and died on the cross of Calvary. He was slain in our stead. I'm not to pick up His cross. I am to be picking up my cross. And when I carry the cross that He gives me, it can come in the form of a trial. It can come in the form of a temptation. And it can come in the form of, at times, persecution. But you notice, in order to be able to take up the cross that the Lord gives us, it says there's a qualifier. It says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Now, deny himself means this. Deny himself in the Greek means to remove myself of me. I have to daily remove myself of me so that what you see is just Jesus living in me. I've got to remove myself of me. I've got to deny myself. I've got to be willing to walk after Jesus. And remember what Jesus asked James and John? James and John, in one account of Scripture, sent their mom to talk to Jesus about His kingdom. He says, and so, you know, the question was, is put forth, is that when you come into your kingdom, can my boys, aren't they great boys? Can't they sit on the left hand and the right hand of you, Jesus? And what did He say? It is not for you to know that. It is not for you to know that is up to the Father. But He asked this question, and He asked His apostles especially, are you willing to drink of the cup that I drink of? Now, when He asked that question, you know, I'm sure they were sitting around, they might have been drinking from a cup, all right? But are you willing to drink of the cup that I'm going to be drinking of? Oh, yes, Jesus, we're going to be able to drink of that cup. Well, remember what the cup was in verse 22. I am going to be slain, and then I'm going to be raised. Alright? I'm going to be slain. Underline that. I'm going to be slain. Are you willing to drink of that cup? And then He told His disciples, He even told Peter, He says, you know, you dress yourself every day, but then there's going to be someone else who's going to be dressing you. In other words, you're going to die in the stead that you're going to be put on the cross. You're going to be put on a cross yourself. And then somebody else is going to dress you. They're going to dress you in burial clothing. Whereas you dress yourself now, one day you'll dress yourself in burial clothing. So he made this statement to them, and he's speaking to his disciples. He said, are you willing to come and follow me and to take up the cross that I give you and follow me, even if it means all the way to your death? But you know, one of the things that we need to be reminded is of this. When we follow the Lord, we are not alone. The Spirit of God, the Word of God, God Himself walks with us daily. Walks with us daily. In fact, I'm reminded of Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 35, where it says this, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? What a comforting statement. What can separate us from the love of God? If we are to walk after Jesus Christ, can tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, you know, those things that we look at life and say, well, if that's what I signed up for, I don't want any part of it if I signed up for it. If that's what I'm going to look at, why can't I just have a name it, claim it, feel good type of religion in Jesus Christ? Remember this, the Lord is constantly molding and making us after His will. The Lord is changing us. He is bettering us. And He is preparing us to be able to live with Him for all of eternity. So following after the Lord is going to bring trials. It's going to bring a trial. In fact, in Hebrews 11 and 17, it says this about Abraham. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Now think about this. Abraham was an old man. Abraham had, in his old age, at 100 years of age, Isaac was born. Isaac was growing up. He was now a teenager. I look at Isaac being a teenager, and at that time the Lord says this, Abraham, He tested him. He says, I want you to give your only son. And we know that Ishmael had been born. We know that Ishmael is a son as well, but that's not where the promised seed was coming forth. And the Lord had said, in thy seed, and thy seed being Isaac, all nations shall be blessed. And here God is calling me up to do what? He is testing me. He is bringing me up to this mountain and say, I want you to offer your only son, that seed from which I promised that all nations shall be blessed. That's Jew and Gentile alike. Shall be blessed. And that will be the coming Messiah. And you're asking me to do what? Kill my only son. What did Abraham do? He walked up that mountain with his son. His son was laid on that altar of sacrifice. He, in his heart, knew that, and I believe he had come to an understanding and seeing how God had worked in his life, he had enough faith and trust that if this son were to die that day, that God would still raise that son so that he could be that son that through which all nations shall be blessed. And he pulled that knife up and he was getting ready to stab his son, and the angel said, Abraham, Abraham, do thy son no harm. There is a ram caught in the thicket over here. And he went and got it and he says, use that ram as a substitute. That ram represented Jesus Christ, the one that came and died on the cross in my place for my sin. So he was proved, he was tested, and he was tried. Also we find Peter says this in 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 8, whom having not seen, ye love, even though we do what? In fact, let me read starting in verse 6 of that text. Wherein you greatly rejoice, so now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations or trials, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, than to be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, and whom, though now you see Him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory because of this reason. Because we know that when we pass from this life to the next, It says, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Meaning, I'm going to be with the Lord forever and ever and ever. We know that the Israelites were tested therein when they came out of the Red Sea. They came across the Red Sea. And one of the things that they came across, and the Lord was going to birth a nation. Going to birth a nation. He gave Moses the Ten Commandments. He gave Moses the law. He gave Moses the information on how they were to live as a society. And they were then going to be tested. Are you going to live up to those laws? And one of the things He told them very clearly, thou shalt have no other gods before Me. I'm a jealous God. Thou shalt not bow down to any graven image. Thou shalt not even make any graven images, because I'm a jealous God. I'm the one that brought thee out of Egypt. And we know that Moses sent out the 10 spies, the 12 spies. They went out through the land, they came back. They all said, they all acclaimed, yes, there is a land that flows with milk and honey. But we also know that they did what? Is that they decided, because they listened to the 10, that they were not going to follow the Lord. And they followed in the wilderness for 40 years. And anyone 20 years and older died, because they were not willing, as Joshua and Caleb says, God has given us this land. Let us go and take it. I don't care how big those giants of Anak are. Let us go and take it. And they chose not to. The Lord also tells us, let's roll forward to today. Today, as individuals and as a church, the Lord tells us, remember when Jesus was being derided. He was being derided about, who did He ask the people here? So let me digress for just a second. What did He ask His disciples? Who do they say that I am? Some say that you're Elijah. Some say that you're this prophet. Some say that you're Jeremiah. Some say that you've risen from the grave. But who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? You are the Christ. You are God's Son, the Christ. That's what they embraced. But I will tell you, other people that were looking at Jesus, they did not believe in Him as such. And I will tell you, when you're out witnessing and hearing things like, you are nothing more than a holy roller. You are nothing more than a better than thou. You are nothing more than a Jesus freak. You are nothing more than, I know your background. I know where you came from. I know your family. I will tell you, sometimes those get to hurting, right? They hurt. Those words hurt. And as a result, we start questioning, is the Lord trying to strengthen me here, or why am I not wanting to follow the Lord anymore? Because I'm tired. I don't want to listen to all the derision. Well, let me just give you a few things that Jesus was derided about. And again, these times can come as trials in our faith. In Matthew 13 and 55, it says, the Pharisees and scribes, they were talking about Jesus. Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? Now I will tell you, that was in derision. Because you see, when he would call himself the Son of Man, oh, they hated it, because if he was the Son of Man, he was the what? Fulfillment of Daniel's prophecy. And hey, surely we're not going to put that title on this man called Jesus. And in fact, in Matthew 13 and 57, it says, and they were offended by him, or in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country, in his own house. So what do we have? Even in Capernaum, he says, that was where he launched his ministry, was out of Capernaum. And the people of Capernaum would not even listen to him. And then in Matthew chapter 12, starting in verse 46, while he was there preaching and teaching, and they were trying to, his mother and his brothers and sisters were outside the door. They were doing what? Trying to get him to come out. And others were saying, your mom and your brothers and sisters are all out there. And it says this, while he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then said one to him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren, they stand out without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him, that told him, who is my mother? And who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, Behold, my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. So you see, the thing is that even though that they were deriding him, even though that they were offended, and I believe these examples are left for us to know this, is there's going to be people that are going to deride us. Is that what do you mean that Jesus is the only way? You know, and how many times have you heard people say, we all serve the same God? No, we do not. If Jesus is not a part of that, your God, we do not serve the same God. If you do not serve the Trinity, and when I talk about Trinity, I am talking about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We are not talking about God the Father, Mary the Mother, and Jesus the baby. That's not who we're talking about. We're talking about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. What do you mean that we can't all coexist? Because we don't all serve the same God. We serve the true and living God. We serve the one that Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. We are going to have these trials. There were many people that really hated Jesus because he made that statement, and I'm sure that he said this. I'm sure that many heard him say, John 14:6, beyond his own disciples. I'm sure that others had heard him on other occasions when he said, I am the Son of Man. I am the Christ. There he said, if you eat this flesh and drink of this blood, you can go to the Father. And they said, what are we, cannibals? Basically, that's what they were saying. They were offended in Jesus because they didn't see him as the living water. They didn't see him as the living bread that brings eternal life to everyone. And when we talk about Jesus, there are those that are going to stand against us and deride us as well. And as a result, is that we're being reminded. You know, the Scriptures also tell us this. Is that, you know, if you're truly going to follow Jesus, you better get ready for the trials. You better get ready for the temptations that come from Satan, as well as the persecutions that may follow. Let me read this before we move on to our next topic about temptation. Luke 9, starting verse 57, says this, And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes. Now, what's the reason for following you? If you're following me for grandeur, if you're following me for wealth, if you're following me for things that are temporal on this earth, you've got the wrong message, because I'm here to offer you eternal life. I'm here to offer you and talk to you about treasures that will be laid up in heaven. Why are you coming to follow me? Jesus said, Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. You know what? There's always going to be dead people around us. Now, what he was talking about is not people that are dying physically per se, even though they do. He's talking about the fact that there are spiritual people that are dead. And if they won't listen, Lord, why are you there? Come follow me, because there will be people that will listen to the Lord. It doesn't say we stop preaching and teaching to our young, our brethren, our loved ones, our kindred. It doesn't mean that. But what it means is this, is that rather than saying that you're attached to somebody because of their age, and that holds you back, come follow me. Come follow me. And another said, Lord, I will follow thee, but bid me first to go bid them farewell, which are at my that are at home at my house. And Jesus said, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. The Lord does not want quitters. The Lord wants us, if we're going to follow Him, follow Him. Even when there are trials that come in our way. Remember what the trials are. They're much better, much precious, more precious than gold that perisheth. Because the trials of our faith make us stronger and prepare us for and to doing the kingdom work while we're here, as well as when we're with Him for all of eternity. The next thing we find is that we need to expect a temptation. Temptation. Now, there's a difference. Trials are from the Lord. They're always for our betterment. Temptations do not come from the Lord. They come from Satan. Now, the Lord may allow Satan to bring a temptation into our life. He may allow that. You know, but he also makes a way of escape. I look at the man Job as being one of the most tempted people that have probably ever lived. Now, you may look and say, well, but you don't understand my circumstance. My circumstance, granted, he had his issues. My circumstances were just as bad, just as worse. Well, and I'll give you that. You know, it's your circumstance. But think about what happened to Job. Job had 10 children, 7 sons, 3 daughters. He had a wife. He had many servants. He had many cattle, many ox, and many sheep, and things of this nature. On one day a whirlwind came through and killed his children. All 10 of them. Gone one day. Alright? One day. And then what we have is that this is continuum, is that he lost his servants, he lost his animals, he lost all of his wealth in one day. Just one day. Gone. Alright? Remember what the Lord said to Satan? Satan, where you been? Oh, going to and fro throughout the earth. And Jesus said, God said, but have you considered my servant Job? Oh, yes, I've considered him. You read the text there in the book of Job, you'll find it says, but this. He says, but you've got that hedge of protection about him. And as long as you provide him wealth, he is going to serve you because of the wealth that you provide him. The Lord says, okay, I'll let the hedge down, take his wealth. And taking his wealth, but you can't touch his body. And so again, that was that one day. It was all gone. Now you also have to understand, part of his wealth was his family. It wasn't just his animals and servants, it was also his family. He had 10 children. And all he was left with is this: anguish, pain, and a wife that says, why don't you just give up your integrity, go cuss God, curse him, and die. Alright? Why don't you just do that? And Job ended up saying, naked came I into this world, naked will I return, blessed be the name of the Lord. You see, Satan can bring in some of the vilest temptations to cause us to sin, to cause us to walk away from the Lord. We say that we're following the Lord, and the Lord could be saying to Satan, have you considered my servant, put your name in there. Now you're not beyond Job. Who was Job? He was just a man. He was just a man. You are just a man or a woman. Young person. You're just a young person. Whoever you are no different than Job in the sense that God could say, have you considered my servant Job? Even with the temptation, the Lord says that he will make a way of escape. Now what does that mean? Job did not find any way of escape because he ended up, remember the second round, if you consider my servant Job, yeah, you can go touch his body, and he's sitting there with boils from his head, top of his head to the bottom of his feet. The only place he can get any comfort is in sitting in ashes. That's the only comfort he could get. And you look and say, well, how in the world why would I want to follow Jesus if it meant something like that's going to happen? Well, you know, today we have what? We may not have the boils from the top of our heads and the bottom of our feet, but we still have cancer, heart attacks, high blood pressure, mental anguish. Put your own thing in it. All of us are subject to these things. Loss of life, loss of loved ones, I should say. We all have these issues. These are all the types of things that what we do with that. Do we allow Satan to get a foothold in? Do we allow Satan to say, if God really loved you, that wouldn't have happened. If God really loved you. I'm sure that Job's wife was saying to Job, if God really loved you, he wouldn't have taken our 10 children. If God really loved you. But I will tell you, is that Satan has power. Now Satan can only do what God allows him to do. But how many times does he allow Satan to get inside? You know, and think about even for we as individuals, we as families. But how about we as churches? How about we as churches that people let Satan get into their lives and as a result, it really tests the very fabric of the church. Many churches have been torn asunder because people allowed Satan to get a foothold in the door. And how could it have been if the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered this church? Have you considered that church? Oh, but Lord, you've got a hedge of protection. I'll pull it down and we'll see what happens." Satan can get an open door even into a church. But the question is, do we draw closer to the Lord? Do we say, get behind us, Satan? Do we allow the Spirit of God to bring healing and peace? Do we allow the Spirit of God to show us the right way? The Lord tells us in Luke 22 and 31, listen to what He told Peter. The Lord said, "Simon, Simon," that's Peter, "behold, Satan hath demanded to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." Peter went on to write in 1 Peter 5 and 8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, looking." And I will tell you, he will do everything in his best to keep a child of God worldly. To keep a child of God worldly and to keep him believing in false doctrines. Remember what I said at the onset? Many churches have bought into this name it, claim it. Many churches have been bought into this feel good. That's all they do is feel good preaching. Motivational speakers, I call them. Not preaching, motivational speakers. That's all they are. And as a result, people have followed that the very first minute of an issue, they are running away. There, many of them become apostates because of the fact is that they would not run to the Lord. They ran away from the Lord. It's no wonder why there are so many Christians today who do not believe Bible doctrines. And I will tell you this. One of my pet peeves about schools today is that they have stopped teaching history. They have stopped teaching about the very fabric of how truly what it means for our country to have started. Was it perfect? By no means. Did it have its issues? By all means. But our country is such a great country that it was started out in a fabric, this idea, this experiment that came that all men are created equal. And things that, you know, the things that it says that we all have the right to pursue life, liberty, and to have the pursuit of happiness. That all of this, and what do we have today, is that it's been dumbed down. Whereas that you believe that you're owed this, you believe you're owed that. You're not owed anything. You're given opportunity, make the best of it. Well, let me bring that into the churches today. I believe churches have been dumbed down. We don't even know longer whether somebody standing behind the pulpit is to wear a pantsuit or a dress. We don't know if our deacons are to wear pantsuits or dresses. We don't know. Now, you understand what I'm talking about, right? The Lord gives us an understanding that the pastoral position is to be a man. The husband of one wife, it says. Doesn't say the wife of one husband. And likewise, ye deacons. The same thing is what it says. We don't know. We don't know any longer if really is that we're serving the virgin birth. Or can we just get to heaven on our own? Because we brought in the works. And the reason I bring this up is that Satan is continually trying to get Christians, and I'll double quote that word Christians, into believing any old Bible doctrines. But what does the Lord say in His Word? Let us not be tossed about by every wind of doctrine. In fact, the Lord tells us His Word to try the spirits, because if we preach and teach about anything other than Jesus Christ, because there is no other gospel, then we are to be what? An anathema. The Scriptures tell us if we're going to follow the Lord, He says this. He says, if you're going to follow Me, you must preach about Me. It's not arrogance on His part. It's the truth. God sent Jesus to die on the cross of Calvary. Now, the reason I bring this up, look back in our text here for just a moment. Because you see, Satan is at work trying to get us to turn away. And He says in verse 24 of our text again, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it." Remember, if you're afraid of being slain, "whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for My sake, the same shall save it." And one of the things I look at there is that losing your life may be the derision of your family. Satan turning your family against you. Remember, that's what I read earlier, is that there's going to be your own family members are going to say, "You love the Lord more than you love us." No, I love the Lord, but I do love you, but I love Him more.
That's right.
Because he's the one that died on the cross of Calvary. He goes on to say in verse 25, well, what is a man advantaged if he gained the whole world? What if you win all, have all the love of all the people and you die and you go to hell? What did that get you? What did it get you? And you lose yourself, he says, and be cast away, because the Scripture says we're all going to kneel before Jesus. And there's going to be some that say, Lord, Lord, have we not done all these grand things in Thy name? He says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. And there's going to be a lot of people, a lot of religious people that are going to be cast into the lake of fire because they never trusted in Jesus. And as a result, and they thought they were following Jesus. You know, I get up and I put on my Jesus clothes today and I walk out and I praise Jesus. But all it was mouth. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And then with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. So remember this, is that there are going to be those trials. There's going to be those temptations of Satan. But there's also me, and I've already sprinkled much of this, is there's expect persecution. Expect persecution. Jesus died on the cross. All of his apostles died. I think John was the only one that died just of age. But they tried to boil him alive. So my point is this. Persecution comes. The devil is going to use even religious leaders to hinder you from following the truth. He is going to use false teachings, false doctrines, anything he can. He's going to persecute you. Think about today. I will tell you, in our nation today, be mindful of this. Our next president, our next Congress may have much to say or little to say about what we preach and teach.
Yeah.
I want you to hear what I just said. There's already underpinnings, there's already undertones going on. Our next president and our next Congress may have much to say about what we preach and teach. In other words, we may keep the liberty we have to preach and teach as God has told us to. But it may turn the tide the other way. We will tell you what you can preach and teach. You don't think it could happen? My friends, look at other countries. Look at China. China tells their people, even churches that they are state-allowed churches, as long as you don't preach and teach anything negative about the Communist Party, is that you can have some liberty. But I will tell you, they have minders. They have people watching. I've read on countless occasions where the Communist Party have gone in, the Chinese Communist Party, they have gone into churches. They were underground churches because they did not embrace being a state-sanctioned church. And they were found out about, and they went in. Any pictures that depicted the Scriptures, any pictures that might have depicted a picture of Jesus, they pulled them down. They pulled them down and put up Mao's picture. They put up Xing's picture. They put up the Communist Party's pictures. And they said, that is your God. That is your Jesus that you're to serve. If it can happen there, my friends, it can happen here. Depending on who is in charge. Who's in charge? That's why we say elections have consequences. It's important to know these things because persecutions can come. Look just north of our border up into Canada. How many preachers have been thrown in jail for hate crimes because they preached against homosexuality, because they preached against abortion, because they preached against these things, and they have been thrown into jail. That's just north of our border in Canada. And I will tell you is that these types of things are continually creeping in. We see in our own country how many that are socialists are trying to get a hold. And I will say, if you're socialist, you're at the precipice of communism anyway, trying to get a hold. These things are coming. The question is, when we say, oh yes, preacher, I'm going to follow Jesus. Church says, yes, I'm going to follow Jesus. What are we going to do when the persecution comes? When it really comes, what are we going to do? Well, I will tell you, is this, is the Lord wants us to continue to run well. Wants us to run well. Do it. In fact, Brother John brought it up in his devotion this morning. That we're to do what? We're to run the course. We're to finish the course that the Lord has given us. And He wants us to follow and to stand for the truth that the devil wants to beat out of us. He wants to cause us to disobey the truth of the Lord. And in fact, Paul wrote this in Galatians 5 and 7 and 8. He says, "Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you." And calling of us is to do what? Follow him. Even if it means that we are persecuted. How many people today in the church would go to jail with the pastor if he gets hauled in? Or how many would say, "Well, Lord, Pastor, we're just going to pray for you. We'll pray for you. We just hope that you don't get treated too badly. We'll just pray for you." How many people really would get down on their knees and praying? Remember when Peter was thrown into jail in the prison? And the church went to praying. And they were praying. And they were praying. And then all of a sudden they get a knock at the door. "Who's that?" They send a little maiden out. "Who's that at the door?" She runs over. "Hey, it's Peter." "Oh, it must be his what? Must be his ghost. They must have killed him." And he stayed at the door. "Open the door! Open up!" And they came in. And what did they end up doing after they saw him? They rejoiced. Because you know what? Their prayers were answered. Their prayers have been answered. And you see, is that when we look here, is that, and the Lord tells us in His Word this, when we're told to stop preaching and teaching the Word of God, Peter and the apostles, they said this to those that were telling them, "Stop preaching in this man's name." Acts 5 and 29 says, "Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men." And I will tell you, the early Christians, they suffered persecutions because they determined to please God, to follow His teachings, even at the risk of displeasing religious people, unbelievers, family members, and influential men. In fact, the Scripture tells us, Paul says to Timothy, in 2 Timothy 3 and 12, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Now, if I leave the message right there, you might say, "Well, Pastor, I'm going to give this a lot of thought again. Whether or not I really want to follow Jesus." You've talked about persecution. You've talked about trials. You've talked about temptation. I just don't know if that's what I really signed up for. If that's really what it means to follow Jesus. And so why would I want to follow Jesus? If it means all of this. And I will tell you, that's a legitimate question to ask. Why would I want to follow Jesus? Because if you're asking this from a worldly perspective, I'll tell you, you'll never be drawn to understand the heavenly perspective. If all you're asking that question is the... Because you see, in my flesh, I want fame. I want to be liked. I want to be well known. In my flesh, I want to have a nice house. I want to have money in the bank. I want a vehicle that I love and enjoy. I want all the pleasures of society. I'm just saying, in the flesh. That's where we tend to get drawn to, right? Amen? That's where we tend to get drawn to. But if you're asking it from the perspective, of why would I want to follow Jesus if that's all going to be possibly gone? Because I'm going to be derided. They're not going to love me anymore. And the Scripture tells us this, though. He says this, but you've got to understand what you have.
Okay.
What you might, not about what you may give up, because you choose to give up, but it's about what you do have. Why would I want to follow Jesus? Because the Lord says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will do what? I will come again and receive it unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I have a mansion in heaven. I have a mansion in heaven. I have a home in heaven. I have eternal life." So although we might be faced with trials, temptations, and persecutions, and remember what Jesus said to His disciples, "If any man shall come after me, let him deny himself." In other words, put your concerns on the back burner and make my concerns, put that foremost in your thought process. Set your affections on high, not on the things below. Because remember what it says in Hebrews 13 and 5, "For He hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. God has promised He's always going to be with us. And one of the things that I want to hear, I'd love to hear, is that when I get to heaven, that I will truly follow Jesus. As the Scripture, as Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me now, I'm going to be ashamed of you later when you come before me. Don't be ashamed of Him. Because He is going to come. He is going to reward. And the Scripture says this, for those who have truly followed Him, then what He could have said to us in Matthew 25 and 21, His Lord said to Him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee rule over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Colossians, Paul writes in verse 23 and 24, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. In Revelation 22 and 12, Jesus said this as He was speaking to John, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. But you see, how am I going to be able to do this? How can I do this today? How can I get past, how can I deal with the derision? How can I get past the trials? And I'll tell you again, the trials are for our good. The temptations of Satan and the persecution of men. Because of this, because Hebrews 12 and 2 again tells us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. If we're unwilling to follow the Lord, we are no different than the one who looks back while plowing. If we're not willing to follow the Lord, I pray that we will choose. I will pray that we as children of God will choose to follow the Lord, understanding the trials are for our benefit. And the temptations, the Lord works with us, keeps us, and shows us how to get through them, of Satan. Persecutions, He deals with us. And I will tell you, He says this, that as a child of God, we're an heir of God. And it says, and we can be an heir of Jesus Christ, if so be that we suffer for His name's sake. If we suffer for His name's sake. Where are you in following the Lord? I can't answer that question. I can answer it for me, but I can't answer it for you. And the other thing I have to look at is, if you're not a child of God, you may walk out and say, well, what that preacher preached today, I don't want any part of that. But I'll tell you what this preacher preached today is the love of Christ. Because with the love of Christ, He said, I will never leave you, I'll never forsake you. You may go down to the lowest of low in the valleys that looks like the shadow of death, but He says, fear not, for I am with thee. You may be up on the highest pinnacle of the highest mountain, and He says, fear not, I'm with you there as well. And so we go through our lows, we go through our highs, and we go through in between. He says, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. But you see, if you never trust in Christ as your Savior, and you stand before Jesus, you kneel before Jesus, you will hear these God-awful words, I never knew you. You forsook me, and now you are forsaken for all of eternity. If you're not a child of God, trust in Jesus. Because I will tell you, it's a glorious life when we follow after Him. May we stand for a hymn of invitation as our musicians come. Father in heaven, as we come to the close of this study this morning, Lord, I thank You that You show us all sides of who You are. I thank You, dear Lord, that You help us to understand who You are and what it meant when You said, are You willing to drink of this cup? What it meant. And it may even mean that we get slain. But Lord, as the Apostle Paul said, I've run my race. I've finished my course. I'm ready to be offered up unto the Lord. That comes from a man whose heart was in following. Was he a perfect man? By no means. But he followed. That's what You ask of us. Follow You. follow in the good days, the bad days, because your word says all things work together for good. So they called those who love your Son, Jesus. You know the need of each one here. And Lord, I pray that our hearts are right with you. Let us be obedient to your calling. For it's in the name of Jesus we ask these things. Amen.